is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game puck drop in 2.5 hours on game number 6 between the Predators and the Dallas Stars. And Floyd, I think it is important at this point that we kind of turn the corner from game 5 and everything else and just think about game 6. Because as bad as things have been in this series, and I think you and I can agree that we have been significantly underwhelmed by what we've watched through 5 games of this series. As bad as it is, the reality of the situation, and my guess is this is what you would be preaching if you were the GM or the coach, is you win tonight against a team that you won twice against in the regular season, you've won twice against in this playoff series, you win tonight, you get a game 7. You get a game 7, who knows, anything can happen in a game 7. All you got to do is win tonight. Winning tonight is the only thing that matters. And you win tonight, it's a game 7. You win that, all of a sudden, clean slate into the second round. Now, we know it's a little bit more complicated than that, but I don't think the message is more complicated than that at this point for where this team is.
Right.
Do we think they have it in them? Like, do you think that this team has it in them to kind of focus that message of win tonight? Just win tonight and then worry about everything else after that. Do you think they have it in them to take the bull by the horns and tonight just say, okay, we're going to play the best hockey that we've played in these playoffs. We are going to be the determined team. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to – all of those things that they have it in them to go out there and play the game that they have to play just tonight before we get to anything else. Do they have it in them to do that? And I'm a little torn as to whether or not I think they have.
Yeah, I mean, not from what I've seen. I mean, I don't know what would make you think that it's... I mean, they have been beaten 4 out of 5 games. I mean, this is not by accident. This isn't happenstance. And the record is 3-2, but it easily could be, you know, 4-1, 5-1, what 5-0, whatever. I mean, you are literally inches away. And so I don't see the way we're playing and the way they're playing. I just don't see it. Could they win this game? Sure, they could win this game. But do they win game 7? I don't think so.
Well, but you can't see, in my opinion, you can't even think about it. If you're on the team, game 7 cannot even come into the discussion right now with the team. And if the team is super soft, they're going to think like that. They're going to think, well, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, even when we win tonight, you know, we got to win game 7. And then, you know, St. Louis is going to have like a whole week of rest from game 6 Saturday to Friday game 1. I mean, come on now. Like that, if you think like that, you lose. I'm convinced of that. I go back to the Red Sox. And I'm talking about the 2004 Red Sox. And we all remember the Yankees.
Wait a minute.
We're up 3-0.
Wait a minute. What do the 2004 Red Sox have to do with the hockey game tonight?
Can you let me get to this? And if you go back to those 2004 Red Sox, they were down 3-0 to the Yankees. And at that point, before game 4, there's that infamous video of Kevin Millar, one of the players on the team, going around to everybody saying, don't let us win tonight. Don't let us win tonight. Because if we win tonight, Pedro goes in game 5, Schilling goes in game 6, and anything can happen in game 7. Don't let us win tonight. And that video just kept popping up over and over and over again. And I feel like a truly tough team and a truly, you know, a truly determined team could go into a game like tonight and say, don't let us win tonight. And really mean it and really believe it. And that's what that Red Sox team did. And I am convinced that if the Predators can just dial their thinking into that, I think they have a shot tonight. If they do it like you do, where immediately you go right from, I mean, yeah, they can win tonight, but if they win tonight, they're not going to win game 7. If they win game 7, they're not going to be. If you think like that, they have no chance. I'm convinced of it. The problem that I have here is I think they're soft. I think this is a soft hockey club. And I don't know why they're soft, but I think they're soft. You know, is it a lack of strong team leader guys? Is it maybe the coach was too soft on them during the year? Maybe the general manager placating to their wishes in the offseason? Maybe that made them soft, giving guys contracts? I don't know. But my gut tells me that they're too soft. And I hate saying that, but that's how I feel about the series. That being said, I think there's a chance that they could prove us wrong in this, because that's all they've ever done, is every time you count them out, they go out there and they win. We said no division. It was over when they lost at Winnipeg, and they won the division. We said no way they could beat Chicago, and they went out there and they swept them. Well, I thought no way after they lost three in a row to Anaheim 3 years ago, they were going to come back and win that series. They won Game 6 and Game 7 on the road, and they won that series. This team, and I mean, Peter Laviolette has been down 0-3 in a playoff series and won it. So there's a lot of angles where you could kind of point to that. I just, for some reason, just don't feel that about this team. Is it wrong to feel that way about this team?
Again, no, I don't think so. I mean, I'm looking at how we've played the last, you know, five games against this team that's going to be at home with a chance to close it out. And the fans are going to go crazy. The team's going to be up. And we're going in there with our tail between our legs. And I mean, I just don't.
I mean, if they go in with their tail between their legs, then they're soft. And if they're soft, then I think major changes need to happen to the team. If they go in there tonight with their tails in between their legs and get spanked, and I'm talking like San Jose Game 7 spanked. If that happens tonight, then I think major changes need to happen to the team. And I think there's a chance you're right about that. But I also am still not at that point yet. You know, there's a lot of people, I mean, we can talk about San Jose. A lot of people counted San Jose out when they were down 3-1 to Vegas. They've won two in a row, Game 7. People counted Boston out when they lost Game 5 at home to Toronto. They won.
San Jose's already said they're going to win Game 7.
Well, Laviolette's already said they're going to win Game 6.
They said that last week. Last game. They said, okay, this is it. Game 7, here we come. I mean, they're excited.
Well, if that gets you excited, you do know Laviolette said after Game 5 they were going to win Game 6. But that doesn't get you excited.
No.
But San Jose saying that they're going to win Game 7 gets you excited?
Yeah. I think they make me believe it.
You haven't even watched that series.
I watched a little bit of it.
When?
Same as I watched a little bit of the Winnipeg.
When? If you've watched that series, I mean, Vegas totally choked that game away last night. I mean, choked it away. But that's neither here nor there. Again, I mean, I think there's two things at play. There's two sides of it. One side is a two-game deficit is not the end of the world in the NHL. It's not the end of the world in baseball. It really, the only sport that it's the end of the world in is basketball, and that's because the outcome is already determined ahead of time. So forget about basketball. A two-game deficit is not a big deal in a lot of
sports. It's not two-game deficit.
It's a one-game deficit.
It's not the deficit. It's the way you're playing. It's you.
That's the other end of it, is it's do you trust
it doesn't
this team,
matter, yeah. I mean, I don't care what the score is. I don't care how much time's left. I don't care. When you look at your team and the way your team is playing, I mean, who are you going to beat? You can't beat anybody. That's the depressing part. And like I said before, you've got good players. You've got good players. We know that. I mean, you go throughout the league and ask, they will tell you you've got good players.
I think it's debatable how good your players
are. And the good players are not playing good. And they are trapping some of the other guys that were playing good. And so now you've got a real mess. So that's the part that concerns me. I mean, the two games and now where we're playing and all that, you know, home ice and all, none of that means anything.
So you think they're too far down the quicksand?
I think they looked at the video. They've seen the games. They were there. I mean, it's each game has gotten worse, you know?
Well, I mean, game four was the worst. Game four was worse than game five. Game four was worse.
Yeah, you're giving up five goals a game. I mean, it doesn't matter either way. But I mean, the point being that you thinking after that game four, oh, man, they're going to show you in game five now. Watch this. This is the Preds team. Uh-oh. And then you're going, okay. So, I mean, that's I don't care about the. I mean, I know they can come back. I know they can win tonight. I know they can win Friday. I mean, I know our Wednesday. I know all that. But I also have watched this team play. And the team that has been playing in the Preds uniforms, whoever they are, they cannot win two games in a row.
Floyd throwing it down. Says they cannot win two games in a row. I think on the surface, if I didn't know this Preds team, I would say you're wrong. But knowing this Preds team, it's hard for me to think that they can be mentally tough enough at the level that it's going to take to be mentally tough enough and where they are in this series. Your thoughts on the phones. 615-737-1025. This is the last segment for calls. Hal at 530. 615-737-1025. And do you think the players know what should be at stake tonight if they don't go out there and they win? We'll get into that coming up next. More your phones, though. 615-737-1025. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 1025, the game.
Peter, your group's been through enough not to be fazed by any situation, but what is the process like for a team to go into a game like tonight without worrying about what the consequences might be if things don't go right?
Well, there's definitely going to be a result at the end of the night. I don't think you worry too much about the result. I think you worry more about the process and getting the guys ready. I mean, you do your best to work through what happened the game before and the areas that you need to be better and the things that you need to change. Eventually, the page has to turn. You got to start focusing on the game at hand and preparing for this game. And, you know, through the time that you're allowed, it's always good in the playoffs. There's always that day in between, sometimes 2 days. You know, you get that opportunity to meet with your team and, like I said, move past one and move into the next. But our guys will be ready to play tonight. We have plenty of time to talk and get things on the table on what we need to do.
Peter Laviolette, he says they will be ready tonight for Game 6. I will hold him to that.
Good.
Also, the idea of, you know, you can't worry about the result. You have to worry about the process. I get what he's saying. I disagree wholeheartedly.
Tonight, yeah, all I want is the result.
It's all that matters.
Just give me the W.
To your phones, Hal Gill in 10 minutes. To your phones, Hal live from American Airlines Center. We start with Adam. Adam, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, man. So a couple things. If you think back, because I know you guys are a big Titan and Preds fans, if you think back to what the Titans used to be, what everybody would talk about the last few years, Titans have a great offensive line, if nothing else. Kind of, until we all look up and realize that they're actually not very good, it's kind of what the Predators' defense reminds me of right now. It's like we all know that they have a great defense. Then we look up and realize that our defense is nowhere near as good as Dallas's defense. And that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I've heard at least 10 times over the past 2 or 3 days that P.K. Subban's had a great series. No, he has not. He was laying on a dude instead of getting back into a play and gave up a goal. That was his goal that he gave up. Like, he hasn't been having a good series. All defense has been slumping, dude, and I don't think they're all that good.
Okay, so I appreciate your call, Adam. I think P.K.'s had a lot better series than people are giving him credit for. I did not think he had a very good Game 5.
No, he certainly didn't.
I do agree with the crux of the call, though. I think the core four defensemen are overrated. I think they're overrated. And I knew this, and that's why I cried and I begged and I did not want them to extend Ryan Ellis in the offseason. I was like, I mean, you know what kills me? You know what really gets me? And a lot of this is because Kyle Turris, you know, sucks. But if you had Sam Girard and Dante Fabbro, do you know what kind of trades you could have made last year with Ellis or Ekholm or somebody like that? Because you could have moved one of those guys, and you got Fabbro and Girard, and they're both going to be studs, and you just let the process repeat itself. Again, the biggest failing of the defense, in my opinion, is that they think everybody's going to get better, and they don't know when the time is to just put it down and say, okay, got to get rid of a guy a year or two too early, as opposed to now where you're holding the bag with Ellis, and Ellis has you for the next 6 years at $6+ million. And I don't know if you could get anything for Ryan Ellis right now. Whereas if you had traded him last year, you would have gotten picks and prospects and all kinds of things.
I mean, I would agree. His value has gone down. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I mean, he knows it. If you go the last two playoff series, the Winnipeg series and this series, he has flat out been horrible in both series. It's just unacceptable from a guy who you count as a leader. And honestly, I think this is just me, just from what I'm listening. I haven't been around him, so I don't know. Got a little bit of an attitude. The other day, somebody asked me, you know, what can you guys do to be better defensively, to play better? Oh, thanks. That's really, you know, that's a good attitude right there. Let's go to Dick, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Dick.
Hey, I know going into the playoffs, I wanted Dallas. I wanted Dallas. You know, they scored the least amount of goals by any teams that are in the playoffs. And then they go ahead and drop back-to-back five-goal games, which they haven't done since, like, January of last season. I'm down on this team, too, but what are the, like, the keys or the specific things you're going to be looking forward to the Preds happening? Or what can they do to actually win this game tonight?
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. Thank you for your call. I'm going to look at a handful of players, okay? And these are the people that make a significant amount of money on this team. Number one is Ryan Johansson. Number two is PK Subban. Number three is Roman Josi. Number four is Ryan Ellis. And number five is Philip Forsberg. And I am going to say from all of them, I need you to play solid. So to not stink, no dumb penalties, so nothing bad. So no negatives, and I need one positive out of each of you. Whether it's a goal, whether it's winning a puck battle that gets somebody an open look and they score, whether it's a rebound, whether it's a block shot late in the game, I need one superstar play out of each one of those guys. And if I get my one superstar play out of each of those guys, I feel comfortable that I'll win today. The problem is, how many superstar plays have you got from those guys in this series? You got one from Roman Josi and one from PK in game one. Johansson, has he had a superstar moment yet in this series? Forsberg had the nice little breakaway goal in game three. But I need superstar plays. Like the play Jamie Benn made the other day, which I blame Josi and Ellis for more than I do give credit to Jamie Benn. I need plays like that from the guys I'm paying the money to. The guys that I say are my core players, I need them to make some plays.
Yeah, I'd say you got a better chance of getting one or maybe two guys to just go off and score about four goals between them, and therein lies the answer.
Well, that's the other option is, what does it got to take? Pekka steals the game. I mean, that's the other, like the trump card in all of this is Pekka steals the game. You went to Anaheim in a game seven 3 years ago, and I want to say, like, Shea Weber had a one-timer that went off of Paul Gostad, and Paul Gostad stunk, went off of Paul Gostad's stick and into the net. And that gave you one goal, and then you got some cheapie somewhere else, and Pekka just stole the game. So tonight, do you get, you know, it's a, I mean, I don't even know who's going to be in the lineup tonight, but is it another Rocco Grimaldi goal to go up 1-0 and then Pekka steals the entire game? I'm not banking on that, but that's like the ultimate trump card in Jared, what has to happen for them to win today? The number one thing on the list would be Pekka steals the game.
And it's strange as it sounds, probably the easiest.
Oh God. I mean, I think there's a legitimate chance he could steal the game. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him to steal both games. Now, I also wouldn't put it past him to steal both games, and then you get just blasted in five games by St. Louis. Okay, let's just say this, just since for argument's sake. Let's say the Predators win tonight, win Wednesday, game one Friday against St. Louis. How many games is the St. Louis series?
Again, from what I've seen, no more than five.
I think I'd go St. Louis in four.
Yeah.
I think St. Louis in four. And then after it, everyone's going to complain about Pekka, and as we know right now, he's not the problem. So, but then again, I thought Chicago was going to blow you out in five, and they swept them. So I would say that's the one thing about the Predators is every time you think they're going to do something, they do the exact opposite. Hal Gill live from Dallas next. See what Hal has to say. Remember, Hal has said all season. What has Hal told me all season to not do?
Don't panic.
He always says, don't worry. He says, you worry too much. Don't worry. I am officially worried. And I don't think there's anything Hal can say that will get me unworried, but we'll see. That's coming up next. Hal Gill will join us. You know what I'm not worried about? I'm not worrying about the plumbing or the heating or the cooling or the electrical work in my house. Why? Because I use Hiller. That's right. Hiller, they're proud sponsors of the Nashville Predators. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. My dad called me the other day and said, hey, I got an issue maybe with the HVAC unit. What do you think I should do? Do you think I should call Hiller? I'm like, yes, you should call Hiller. Absolutely. And of course, that's the first thing he did, was he called Hiller. And I'm glad he did it. Why? Hiller, over 15,000 online reviews. Hiller has a 4.8 star out of 5 rating. 15,000 people, 4.8 stars out of 5. That ain't easy to do. Hiller's got it. They also offer true transparency pricing, which allows you to understand why you're being charged whatever it is. And maybe if you use somebody else, which is okay, you can go ahead and call Hiller out. They'll give you a free second opinion. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. I love them so much so, I told my dad, you got to use them. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Proud partners of the Nashville Predators. And I know they are hoping over there at Hiller that you get to see that Hiller logo right there at center ice, not just one more time this season, but a bunch more times. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Listen, you know, through a run, however long it goes, right, you hope it's four series and a win at the end. You know, you hope you win the last second on the clock. And there's always going to be times where you're challenged as a group on most runs to being a champion. There's times where you're challenged, and you know, those are the times, I think, that solidifies your group.
That was Peter earlier today. Hey, there's going to be adversity. Well, the Preds are facing it right now. Hal Gill is live in Dallas, and he joins us now on the show, presented by Puckett's Barbecue and Restaurant and Grocery. Hal, you've told me all year, don't worry. You always say, you tell me that I worry too much. Hal, I am worried about the Predators today. Even Floyd is worried about the Predators today. What are your feelings? You've played in every situation imaginable. How do you feel going into Game 6 today?
Well, Jared, you should be worried. If you lose a game, you are out of the playoffs. So, of course you're worried. You know, that's, you're always worried anyway. But, you know, I mean, let's face it. This hasn't gone the way they wanted it to go. So they have, you know, in that locker room, I think, they're probably looking around and saying, hey, teams are, they, you know, people are counting us out. You know, I think this is, everyone seems to think that this is going to be it for the Preds. So I imagine they're using that as motivation. They're probably going to go out there and try to play a stingy game, get back to the way they play and take it shift by shift. Obviously, they know the circumstances, but as a player, you prepare the same way. You go out, you do your thing, and you play with urgency, and you try and get this win. Try and get that first shift and play in the offensive zone. Get your game going, and then carry it for 60 or however long it takes you, and then worry about it after that. You know, it does no good to worry about losing out of the playoffs, and they know that situation. What they're trying to do is focus on the one shift, the first hit, the first shot, the first whatever it is, and then snowball from there.
The one question I kept asking everybody yesterday, and I didn't really get much of an answer other than, yeah, we know we have to correct it, is these defensive breakdowns that are happening that are just driving me nuts. And I go back to the goal where
you
Ellis
and me both.
Well, yeah, where Ellis lost the puck battle in the corner to Jamie Benn. Everybody, you know, that I know is circling Ellis and is throwing a fit about that. My bigger issue on that play was Josi leaving his man in front of the net and dropping off. Earlier in the game, Cali Yarncroke loses his man. Guy goes right in and scores. Why are these guys, experienced players, why are they leaving their men and allowing, you know, huge breakdowns in the defensive zone?
That's a problem for me too. I've seen it and it's not good. You know, you can't lose your guy. They're playing a man-to-man system, so you know it looks a lot more like chase your man than man-to-man, where you're playing your man. But I really believe if they want to be successful, they have to play in layers and they have to protect the front of the net, and that's what they haven't done well. And you're right. You know, Ellis, it's going to happen. Jamie Benn's a tough kid to play against. He's a bull out there, and you know, it's going to happen where he's going to beat you. There's got to be layers to back him up. There's got to be a collapse around the net, and that's what the Preds haven't had. There's way too many point blank shots, and Rene has been fantastic. You can't expect him to carry you through every game, though. I think in order to be successful, you need a hot goalie, but you have to play well in front of him. Give him a chance.
How do we get the first line going?
It's a tough one. What they do, they scored that goal, Johansson's goal, out of quick exchanges and quick puck movement. A lot of times they're trying to do it by themselves. You know, it'll be Arvidsson's chance. It'll be Forsberg's chance. It can't be that way. It's got to be a full line going out there and doing the job. And you see glimpses of it. What the Stars do really well is exactly what we need the Preds to do, protect the front of the net. And it's tough to get into that area. What you saw on the Johansson goal was basically the same play where Klingberg drops down and tries to jump on the puck, pass it by him, and then what would have been Klingberg's man was Johansson, who takes the puck and scores. So, those are little things that they have to do. They have to move their feet, do quick exchanges, and open up that middle of the ice. They did it on one play, but it has to be more consistent.
Okay, now let's go over on the other side. How do we slow down their first line?
They're good. They're good.
They're good.
Well, the best way to play against that line is play in their end. Make them play defense.
Yeah.
But that comes from not turning the puck on breakouts. Not losing the puck through the neutral zone. Setting up your forecheck, making sure pucks go deep, especially on the road where you don't have the last change. You're going to have those guys out against everyone on the team at points. Everyone's got to be aware of them. That's obviously the line that you have to watch out for. Know when they're on the ice and keep it simple. Get the puck out. Get the puck in.
Hal Gill is with us again, presented by Puckett's Restaurant and Grocery. Hal, again, I look at this. I feel like that somebody, one of the leaders of this team or one of the big-time money guys, has got to step up today and make some big plays. When you've been in these locker rooms before, is everybody looking to the guys, the PK Subbans, the Ryan Johanssons, the Roman Josis? Are they looking at those guys and saying, okay, we need you to make plays for us today? Or is it just maybe it's wherever you get it? How should the team mentally approach something like this?
Well, you're way off on that one, Jared. Come on, man. If you're not looking at yourself and saying, I got to step up, it's not going to be one guy that step up and does it. I mean, that's great from the outside. If the Preds win, we're going to look at it and say, that guy stepped up. That guy stepped up. Oh, Subban stepped up and got a big goal. Forsberg was a beast out there. We're going to talk about all that, and the Preds need that. But if you're in the locker room saying, geez, I hope Forsberg steps up, then you got a problem. we're in trouble. You got to be looking at yourself and saying, I'm going to get the big block. I'm going to get the shot. I'm going to score the goal. I'm going to take the hit to make the play. All those little details up and down the ice, it's got to take every guy on that bench jumping over and going in waves. Because, let's face it, the Stars are playing some pretty good hockey right now, and they're playing confident, and you're going to need to beat them. You can't just hope someone else is going to go out and beat them for you. You got to do it, and everyone on the team has to commit to it.
Dallas has probably outperformed us 4 of the 5 games, and we've got 2 more left. Can they pull out the last 2?
Absolutely. That's why you play these games. And let's face it, I love the best of 7 because the closeout game is the hardest one. I've been on both sides of it, and you're going to give everything you got. The Preds know their back is against a wall, so they're going to give it. And the Stars know that if they don't get this win, they have to go back into Nashville, play in Smashville, the crowd going nuts. It's going to be tough to win that Game 7, especially after you just lost a game and you start to question yourself. There's a lot of emotions that go into this. So this is a big game, and they better be ready. They better roll with it. It's going to be a good match, a good test for the Preds. But anyone who wins the Cup has to go through some adversity throughout the playoffs. It's a long postseason, and if you want to win, you got to step up in games like this.
Hal, do you think this is what's crazy to me? Is the Predators fans, I feel like, are sometimes maybe overly positive with almost everything. I mean, it is almost sickening sometimes to me. And yet I have never seen this fan base in the 4 years I've been on the radio here. I have never seen this fan base so down on the team. Do you think that that is warranted? Do you think that maybe there's something inspirational you can say to the fans? I mean, what do we make of that? This is the fan base. I feel like they think they're going to win every game when the season starts. Like, they're like, Jared, they're going to go 82-0-0. Like, duh. And yet now, I mean, I just we took 4 hours of calls. I have never seen the fans be this down before.
Yeah, well, because their team isn't playing the way they can. And if the Preds go out and play the way they can be successful. We know David Poile did a great job. He's got what I think he made all the right moves. It just hasn't come across. It hasn't shown. And, you know, the coaches got to, you know, they changed up the lines here to try and get new looks. But in the end, it's got to be the players on the ice that step up and get it done. There's huge expectations in Nashville, and it's not always as easy. I feel like after that run in 2017 where everything was going right and they were just got into the playoffs and they rolled, you know, it's not that easy. And I think they got the expectation that from now on it's going to be that easy. And it's not realistic. I mean, you got to work for it. But that being said, you go get a win, you get some momentum, you get a win in Game 7, and then all of a sudden, all those fans that are that were naysaying and complaining and worried like you, they'll start to come around. And that's the part I always enjoyed, is being in a locker room where you control your fate. You can go out there and you know, it's really about those guys in that room. They got to go out and do it. It's, you know, everyone can be worried, everyone can be negative. But it's you in the room that gets the job done.
You shouldn't say like me. I think they're going to win tonight. But, I may be the only one. But, I mean, with this, have you ever been through a situation, Hal Gill's with us, have you ever been through a situation like this where you haven't been playing well in the playoffs and then all of a sudden, you know, you just figure it out or something happens? Because I think we can all agree, if the Preds play the next two games like they have the first five, it's over. But if they play like we know they're capable of, they can win this series. And I'm still, like Floyd kind of thinks that even if they get to St. Louis, it's going to be four or five and they're out. And I understand why he thinks that. I just kind of feel like each series is different. So as long as you get to the St. Louis series, that's all that matters at this point. But I guess for me, like, I don't know. Have you ever been through a situation where maybe, you know, you weren't playing well in a series and all of a sudden started playing well and it carried you through an entire run? Where have you been through that in your career?
Come on, Jared. I've been through it all, man. I've been down 3-0 and you come back and you win it. I've been up 3-0 and it just, if you lose three games in a row, it feels like the sky is falling, especially in the playoffs. But I've been in that situation, and you just win the next game. You come back, and then it's 3-1, and then you win the next game. And then all of a sudden, you win two in a row, you're feeling good. Now you just have to win two more. So whether you're, you know, and I've been on the other side where it just goes away from you. And you know, the other team changes, minor adjustments that all of a sudden it's tough to get out of your zone, and then it snowballs. And that's what I mean. And you're right. It's all about finding a way to meet this challenge, and then the next challenge is going to be a total different thing. It's, you know, you're going to be looking at, you know, one line steps up, and then the next series another line steps up, and you know, a D pairing gets the job done, and another D pairing gets it done. It could be goaltending. There's so many factors that go in. You just got to get to that next challenge, and you know, and that's why I say you're never too high, you're never too low. There's certainly more urgency when you're down three games to nothing. You know, you have to find a way to get back into it. But Montreal, we did it against, you know, we came back and I was on a team that beat Washington and no one thought we could beat them. And I was on a team that beat Pittsburgh and no one thought we could beat them. You know, we struggled against the Flyers and you know, that was the team that we probably should have beat. So you never know what you're going to go through, but these guys have been through some pretty good tests. So they're battle tested and they feel confident that they can rise up. And that's what really matters.
Does Wayne Simmonds play tonight?
It does not look like he's in there. I imagine he's pretty bitter about it because he's a competitor and he hasn't proven what he can do for this team. And he still wants to do that, but it doesn't look like he's in the lineup. You know, the line rushes in pregame had him out, but you know, we'll see. You know, playoffs, I think everyone's got to be ready to go. So maybe he will get in. We'll see.
Hal Gill will be on the call tonight, 7:30 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Harold, appreciate it as
Thanks,
always. And look forward to talking to you this same time or whenever next week if there, you know, should be the reason to talk to you in a similar situation.
That would be nice. And thanks for having me, Floyd.
Hater.
Always my pleasure.
Hater. Hal Gill, as always. We'll see you, Hal. Hal will be on the call tonight. Jared and the GM. Okay, Predators game day is coming up next. I have one reason why I think you, not me, you, should have hope as far as the Predators are concerned. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's game day in Smashville, brought to you by the Nexus Group and TJAndersonHomes.com. What are Peter Laviolette's keys to the game? Who will be in and out of the lineup? It's time to break it all down on Jared and the GM on your flagship home of Smashville.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Predators Game Day is presented by the Nexus Group, your trusted provider and safe haven for business networking, offering secure, reliable connectivity. Call the Nexus Group 615-221-4200 and do not get catfished.
Unless it's on the ice.
Game number 6 tonight at Dallas, 7:30 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Predators, with Peter Laviolette as coach, are 5-4 in elimination games. Although Laviolette's record as a coach overall, much, much better in elimination games. A lot of that has to stem to do with the fact that with the Flyers was down 3-0 in a playoff series and went and won that playoff series at a point in time. We start off with Peter Laviolette and with the coach's take, which is presented by TJ Anderson Homes. Buy or sell your home at TJAndersonHomes.com. Game 6, got to get it.
Would we rather be up 3-2? Sure, but we're not. We got to win a hockey game tonight. Once we win a hockey game today, we'll wake up tomorrow and we'll deal with it when it comes. But I think that there's confidence in our group and to be able to understand what we need to do in order to be successful and then to execute it. So, we'll be ready to play.
Again, the coach's take is powered by TJ Anderson Home. Your road to real estate begins at TJAndersonHomes.com. Floyd Reese.
Yes, sir.
Do you agree with Peter Laviolette that this is a confident team that thinks that they can go out there and win in game 6?
I don't. I mean, they may say it. I'm not sure they believe it, but maybe they do. I hope they do. I mean, we got to figure out some way to get this one. So, I mean, I hope they are, but I don't know what they would be tremendously confident about.
Like, what can they hang their hat on that makes them think they can beat Dallas? Yeah. I would agree. I think that that's all. I mean, and Laviolette yesterday, like when he met with the media at the airport and I was there, I mean, he was, you know, I was really expecting grumpy Peter, you know, when Peter's really in a bad mood and is real grumpy. And he was, you know, cracking some jokes and he was, you know, very confident. And all of these things, and I'm like, man, not that I doubted the authenticity of it, that I really doubted the authenticity of it, you know, in terms of you know, it was like almost like I gotta believe so that everybody else will believe, because if I act like we should panic, then everybody's gonna panic. So I'm gonna get out there and be the one who believes and says, hey, we got this and all that stuff. So this is the reason why I think Predators fans should believe. Every single time that I have counted the Predators out, they have gone on to win, and I am counting them out. I mean, after that game the other day, I was like, wash your hands of it. It's over. See ya. Finito. And every time that it gets that way, they come out and they pull it out of their rear ends, and they do it. And that should be another positive. The other reason, Floyd, is because I have likened this team all year to the 9-7 Mike Mularkey Titans that went to the playoffs and then they fired Mike Mularkey. And I felt like we all thought the talent level of that team was one thing and the reality and the results and what we were watching was another thing. Well, remember that the Mike Mularkey Titans were down 18 at the half to Kansas City and nobody gave them a chance. So if they are to be the Mike Mularkey Titans, they will come back in the first round and win and shock everybody.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what I got there. According to the lineup, we just heard from Hal Gill, it looks like Wayne Simmons will not play, which would make me think that the lineups in terms of the players in it will be very similar to what we saw Saturday. I can't imagine that the lines will be anything similar to what we've seen so far in this series. I would not even be surprised if he breaks the Jofa lineup and takes Arvidsson off that line here in Game 6.
I think I'd be shocked at that.
Why?
If he changed the first line?
What's Arvidsson done for you?
Oh, not that they've done anything. But
Desperate times call for desperate measures,
yeah,
baby.
I still think, I mean, there's making moves to help your team win, and then there is desperation. And you don't want to show a team desperation, especially if they're not confident, because they're going to be going, uh-oh, we're really going out there now.
Well, the hardest problem with that is it's not like there's anybody that's good to choose from to put in Arvidsson's spot. It's not like, oh, okay, well, if I drop down Arvidsson, I know Sissons is killing it, so I'm going to move Sissons up to the first. Sissons was horrible on Saturday night. Bonino has been horrible in this series. You know, we haven't even mentioned those two. They've been terrible. So it's not like there's anybody that's just a natural fit to move up. I mean, this is, you call me crazy. I think Brian Boyle would probably be the first candidate. If you were going to move Arvidsson off the first line, Brian Boyle would probably be the first candidate to take that spot. But I'm not sure he's really a fit there. But that would be the route that I would go. Okay, tonight, 7:30 right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd Reese, what are you watching for tonight? Preds and Stars, game number 6.
Well, I mean, I think the best chance they have of pulling this thing out is with Pekka. And Pekka has got to go in there and just play flawlessly. And they're going to have to give him some help. He's got to have a little darn help. And if that can happen, then, you know, and he stands on his head, then I think they've got a chance. And that's maybe the easiest chance that they've got. So I'm going with Pekka. Putting the pressure on him.
My question is, who's going to make a play? I think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be very tight. Who is going to make a play? And I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Rocco Grimaldi. I don't care if it's Dante Fabbro. I do not care who it is. Who is going to make a play? Floyd, prediction tonight. Who wins and what's the final score? Do it.
I'll say Preds 1-0.
No.
Preds 1-0.
You are not picking the Preds.
You asked me, I give it to
you. Ian, you have listened to this whole show. Is Floyd really picking the Preds today?
I guess so.
Oh, stop. You've listened
Preds
to the whole
1-0.
Show.
You asked them to make a pick.
I really feel like the Preds are going to win, but that may be a heart thing. I'm going to go Dallas. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Dallas pulls away late.
He just told Hal the Preds were going to win.
I know, but I think that's like a feel thing, and then there's the head thing. So I'm going to go Dallas 3-1 tonight. Dallas wraps it up. That's it for us. Chase McCabe is warming up in the bullpen. Preds Extra live from Dallas is next, pregame at 6:30. We will see you tomorrow at 2:00.